Adios, mi familia.
Bye, Tim. Bye, Lucas.
Whatever.
Have fun.
Something strange is going down.
Ow!
In Lucas Nichols' front yard.
Hey, Pukis.
Destroyer.
It's the most powerful force in the universe.
We must fight back for this.
A potion? What exactly does it do?
And Lucas's problems only get bigger as he gets smaller.
Human, come with us.
What are you doing out of bed, tiny Lucas?
I humbly move the destroyer be dissected and studied.
You're gonna eat me.
Cross my heart, I will not eat you.
Cross your heart, not your butt.
What's your name?
Here he goes again.
I'm free! Get me off!
It's time to start your training.
From Warner Brothers Pictures.
Whoa. Everything in the colony is a team effort.
An ant will sacrifice himself for his friends. This is where we draw our strengths.
Hello? Julia Roberts, Nicolas Cage, Meryl Streep, and Paul Giamatti.
He's come to wipe out the entire colony. We can work together to stop him.
This summer, the battle for the lawn is on.
Now's our chance! Yeah!
The Ant Bully.
I'm feeling like we ought to attack something in here.
That looks vulnerable.
Oh. Hello and welcome to The Complete Works, an in-depth look into the career and filmography of Nicolas Cage. My name is Mike Smith. Joining me on this journey into the depths of true cagedom is my friend, co-host, and fellow cageaholic,
Mike DiCrescio.
How you doing today, Mike?
Good, good. I am very interested to hear what we can say about our movie today.
We will try to stretch this out as long as we can. So it could be about 15 minutes, but we'll find. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Mike, the year was 2006. We have crossed the paths. We have been 2005 for the last couple episodes. Now, 2006. Nicolas Cage has returned to the world of animation for this next film, Mike.
It happened.
He had, of course, previously lent his voice as Jacob Marley in 2001's Christmas Carol, the movie. Who could forget?
Who could forget?
But he is only in about 5 minutes of that movie. This time around, he'd be playing a much larger role in a movie that pretty much checks all the boxes for a computer animated movie in the mid-2000s. It's derivative of something Pixar had already done, for starters. which was a kind of a requirement in the mid-2000s. And it uses the DreamWorks tactic of getting a pretty major all-star cast for most of the roles. Today we are talking 2006's The Ant Bully. So yeah, here we go. The Ant Bully is actually the very first computer animated film produced by Warner Brothers.
Wow.
And not only that, it was their first animated movie to be released in IMAX 3D.
Wow. Okay, that actually explains a whole bunch.
Does it? Do you think so?
There were some shots where, some moments where I was like, this looks like it's purposely done to be a 3D thing, but was this a thing in 3D? Was my thought process. It turns out, yes.
This is kind of when they were testing the waters of 3D, because 3D didn't really catch on until 2009-ish when Avatar really became big.
Right.
But the mid-2000s, you could see studios pushing it out in select places, in IMAX theaters and stuff like that. And The Ant Bully was Warner Brothers' first attempt at going all in on that. Imagine being able to experience the glory of The Ant Bully on an IMAX screen, like the screen that you saw Dunkirk on.
Same caliber of movie.
Yeah. Actually, by the end, it's very similar to Dunkirk. But with ants, you know.
But with ants. Every movie should be.
There should be just an ant version of every movie that comes out, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, this movie is based on a children's book written in 1999 by John Nichol. And it was written and directed by John A. Davis. Now, Davis is best known as the creator of Jimmy Neutron, which I absolutely fucking loved as a kid. I was a big Jimmy Neutron fan. Mike, were you a Jimmy Neutron kid, or was that a little bit before your time? No, after your time, I mean.
After my time? No, I definitely remember being into Jimmy Neutron. I just don't remember if I loved it or if it was the show that I tolerated because the one I really loved was on after it. not that I remember what show that was, but there was a lot of that going on.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, that is kind of a thing where people have this like blind nostalgia for just anything, any kids show that was on when they were kids.
Yeah.
Even if they didn't like the show that much. Like, when you like, say you're a big fan of Hey Arnold, but you have to watch like Ah Real Monsters to get to it. And you like tolerate Ah Real Monsters, and looking back, you're like, oh yeah, Ah Real Monsters. I remember that show, but like you didn't actually like it that much,
right?
I'm not trying to diss Ah Real Monsters because I don't remember it at all.
Well, it was fucking great, Mike, for your information.
I watched it every day before Hey Arnold.
yeah, exactly.
But I did really like Jimmy Neutron as a kid, and Johnny Davis wrote and directed the 2001 movie Jimmy Neutron Boy Genius, which I actually own on DVD. And
somehow I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and he acted as the showrunner for the TV series that followed the movie, and he most recently worked on the Jimmy Neutron spinoff Planet Sheen, which ended in 2013. Now that is after our time.
Yeah.
That was 2010 to 2013. The TV show Jimmy Neutron ended in 2006.
Wow.
So I remember Planet Sheen happening because I had a younger brother who would still watch Nickelodeon at that time.
Right.
And so I would see like commercials for it every once in a while and being like, it's weird that they're doing this now. And also Planet Sheen is a very weird premise for a show. Because if you remember the character Sheen, he's like one of Jimmy Neutron's best friends. And in the premise of that show is that Sheen gets into Jimmy's stuff and like, accidentally launches himself into space and lives on a planet among these like alien creatures.
So it's a Planet Hulk storyline?
Yes, Planet Hulk, but with Sheen. And the thing is, like, you know, that's maybe a fun premise for a show, but it's very odd to make that the spinoff of your show because then you're worried about, you know, his friends and family back home who are worried about Sheen, I assume, right?
Presumably.
Like, if it was an episode of Jimmy Neutron, Sheen would be back by the end of the episode.
Right. Now there's just a dark subplot on the Jimmy Neutron show about his family's being devastated for the lack of Sheen.
It's the very dark epilogue to which there is no resolution, I assume. I didn't watch Planet Sheen.
Report back next week, Mike.
I'll binge watch the entire thing before the next time it works. Anyway, that show ended in 2013, but when Johnny Davis is not making kids cartoons, Mike, Davis is also a recognized astrophotographer.
Ooh.
Yeah, he leads the astrophotography special interest group associated with the Texas Astronomical Society of Dallas. He actually founded the group back in 2009, so that's neat.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. But it was not John Davis's idea originally to adapt the Ant Bully into a movie. Do you know whose idea it was, Mike?
Was it Nick Cage's idea?
It was not Nick Cage's idea. get ready to be surprised. It was none other than Tom Hanks.
What? All right. What a twist.
If you may have noticed, Tom Hanks is credited as an executive producer on The Ant Bully.
Right.
And he thought it would make a great animated movie after reading the book with his child. He was the one that first came up with the idea of adapting it. And he brought Davis into the fold because of Jimmy Neutron. And Davis's first thought was, oh, why does it have to be ants again? because at this point, both A Bug's Life and Ants had already existed for a couple of years at that point. And pretty much covered all the territory you can cover telling a story about ants. Yeah, but he did end up coming around and compared the story as more like The Incredible Shrinking Man than anything else. Although he did note that he felt like a hypocrite when his house got infested with carpenter ants while he was working on the movie, and he called an exterminator.
That's amazing.
Which is the worst bit of irony that could possibly befall you, I think.
Yeah.
Now, Nicolas Cage stars in The Ant Bully in the role he was born to play.
Yes.
The character of Zok, who is an ant, who is also a wizard. Because, like, why not, right?
Sure.
I was reading the cast list before I watched the movie, and it said Nicolas Cage plays Zok, a wizard ant. And I assumed that wizard ant was just a kind of ant.
Right.
And it turns out, no, this is an ant who is literally also a wizard.
Yeah, you're not going to cast Nicolas Cage in your movie about bugs and not have him play a wizard.
Right, that's just screenwriting 101. I mean,
yeah.
But the film is centered around a character known both as Lucas Nickel and as Peanut the Destroyer, and that character is voiced by Zach Tyler Eisen. Now, some may recognize his voice, Mike, since he also played Aang in Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a little bit after my time. I did not watch Avatar: The Last Airbender, but
yeah,
that was a pretty popular show.
Yeah, that's definitely got a big following now, especially. the spinoff on that show, Legend of Korra. So
yeah, I've heard
that's
nothing,
pretty cool.
I've heard nothing but great things about both shows, but I will probably never watch them. And and from there, the movie has a pretty insane cast after that, beginning with Julia Roberts as Hova, who is Zock's girlfriend, who has to teach Lucas the ways of the ant. I feel dumb having to describe this movie. also, Meryl Streep is in this for about 5 minutes, playing the Queen Ant, which makes this movie an unexpected adaptation reunion, which is kind of neat. And then Paul Giamatti plays Stan Beals, the Exterminator. Regina King, who, as a side note, incredible on The Leftovers, Regina King, plays Krila, another ant. And the one that got me really excited, Bruce, motherfucking Campbell, is in this as Fugax, another ant. And I was thinking about this when I saw that he was in the movie, and I looked over both of their filmographies. It is an absolute crime that this is the only movie that Cage and Campbell have starred in together.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Those two actors, I would pay $50 to watch a movie with those two actors in it, like a classic horror comedy or something. That would be incredible.
That seems so unlikely that they would never have been in a movie,
right?
Besides this one together. Yeah,
it is a damn tragedy. anyway, from there, Lily Tomlin plays Momo, Lucas's grandma, who is obsessed with aliens. And Saturday Night Live, Sherry O'Terry plays Lucas's mother, Doreen, probably best known as one half of the Spartan cheerleaders on SNL, with Will Ferrell. And Jake T. Austin from the Disney Channel series Wizards of Waverly Place makes his film debut here as Nicky, one of the kids who picks on Lucas in the beginning before joining him in the end. Mixed martial arts fighter Don Fry is credited here as a soldier ant. Seriously, that
sure.
He's in it. And the great Ricardo Montalban, probably best known as Khan in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, but also for Planet of the Apes and Spy Kids, plays the head of what?
Just that you included Spy Kids.
Why would I not include Spy Kids, Mike? Come on.
Fair. Yeah, good point.
He plays the head of council, and this was actually the last film that he made before he died. It was The Ant Bullet.
Wow.
So it's the last film of Ricardo Montalban. And Allison Mack, who played Chloe on Smallville, and who was great on the FX series Wilfred as well, plays Lucas's older sister, Tiffany. Tyler James Williams, who was Chris on Everybody Hates Chris and Noah from The Walking Dead, plays blue teammate number one. And
I think you're starting to stretch, Mike.
Well, I kept finding all these names that I knew, and I wanted to share them with you, Mike.
Okay.
And then there are a couple of well-known voice actors throughout, like Rob Paulsen, Frank Welker, Tom Kenny, and Wally Wingert. Plus, Mark DiCarlo provides the voice of a fly. He was Jimmy Neutron's dad, Hugh Neutron, in the movie and the show. Yeah, so lots of people in this movie, Mike. This is a huge cast.
Yeah.
For The Ant Bully, which was written and directed by Johnny Davis in 2006, and produced by Tom Hanks. The movie did not do so hot at the box office, taking it out $55 million against a budget of $50 million. Other movies released on the same day included the comedy John Tucker Must Die, Michael Mann's movie adaptation of Miami Vice, and the Woody Allen film Scoop with Hugh Jackman and Scarlett Johansson, generally considered one of his weakest films. and the IMDb plot synopsis for The Ant Bully reads, after Lucas Nickel floods an ant colony with his water gun, he's magically shrunken down to insect size and sentenced to hard labor in the ruins. So, Mike, with all that out of the way, what are your overall thoughts on The Ant Bully?
So The Ant Bully, as you said, is the classic third-rate mid-2000s computer animated movie. It definitely has that feel to it where it's like, I mean, we mentioned Bug's Life. And ants, and okay, sure, Ant Bully, I guess. it's doing a lot of the same stuff that we've seen before in other movies, and it's kind of just like, all right, you know, it's just the thing that we experienced. I don't feel like it's particularly or has any particularly bad moments, other than it's. I mean, nothing jumps out at me as being like, this is atrocious. I'm just interested to hear what moments you pinpoint.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I will say, I think this is a really fucking weird movie.
Oh, yeah. That's 100%
like,
true.
We have to leave with that. I think this may be the weirdest movie we've discussed in this podcast. and that is saying a lot. We have reviewed a movie where Nicolas Cage plays Charlie Kaufman in a meta commentary about the movie that he's in himself. We have seen a movie where Nicolas Cage thinks he's turning into a vampire. We have seen a movie where Nicolas Cage kills a man and asks, "Who sent you?" And so the guy shouts, "Sam fucking Peckinpah," and then Nick Cage slices his throat. And then later on, Charlie Sheen plays the devil in a red suit, and there's a guy with a robot arm. Like, that's a movie that we saw.
Yep, that was a real thing. That was a real thing that happened.
And with all that, I really think the Anvil might be like the weirdest one that we've watched. And I also think it's not a particularly good movie, but also like an oddly compelling one. I don't know. There's something about it that kept me going. Maybe it's because it's short and I was compelled by its weirdness. Like, I was just like trying to figure out what it was.
What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, but it's a movie that does – I feel like its heart is in the right place. You know? I feel like it tries to be about how people need to put aside their differences and work together, which, by the way, if you look through some of the online reviews – I didn't find any of this in the Netflix reviews, curiously. But if you look at people who have reviewed the movie online elsewhere, people thought it was like an allegory, like propaganda for communism, which I thought was hilarious.
It's ants, I guess.
It's ants. Like, it's just saying that people should be more like ants, which is whatever.
A hard sell, I guess.
The thing is, like, it's, you know, all about just working together and stuff, and it doesn't really bring anything new to that lesson, which I think makes it feel very half baked and not fully formed. But it does kind of feel like it's going for something, you know. And there are actually like a lot of pretty funny moments. I thought, like, there are moments that made me laugh throughout the movie, and then it becomes like sort of epic by the end. Like, there's it becomes like this all-out battle between the ants and the exterminator. It's kind of insane to watch, but a lot of the humor does fall pretty flat. But the movie's biggest problem, like, and this like really irritated me, and like this movie knocked the movie down like 6 stars.
Wow. Okay.
By out of 5.
This movie owes you a star.
This movie owes me a single star. The movie's biggest problem is that it can't overcome its main character. Lucas is the fucking worst.
So the movie opens, and my first note is that our main character is Sid from Toy Story. where he is just wantonly killing things that we are watching. He's just squirting his... squirt gun at the ant colony. He's kicking the hill over.
Yep.
And like, it's kind of played as a joke. Like, you know, they call it, like, he's kind of like a kaiju to the ants, right? Like, that's how they play it.
Right.
But like, we open with the ants first, I think, right?
Yeah, it's, yeah. We open with Nicolas Cage trying to make a potion or something because he's a wizard.
Right.
Again, we have to stress, Nicolas Cage was a wizard ant in the...
He's a wizard ant with a staff, like it's full-blown wizard ant. So like, we open with the ants, and they're in this kind of silly, you know, the dumb sleeping room thing or whatever, where, you know, he's making too much noise. But we open with the ants, like, presented as our main characters, and then we get to watch them just be absolutely obliterated by our actual main character that we're supposed to sympathize with and stuff. It's so fucking weird.
Yeah, it is. I was literally shouting on my TV almost like every line that Lucas had, because even in just the dialogue, it seems like the movie goes out of its way to make you think Lucas is the worst, which is weird because it sort of like half-heartedly tries to make you sympathize with him early on. You know, it shows him like getting picked on by some of the bullies in his front yard, and then after that, like, he transfers that getting picked on to pick on something smaller than him, which is the ant colony. But it isn't nearly enough to make me put up with his bullshit for for an hour and a half. I really hated that character. And, you know, I think you're supposed to not like the characters that much, but like, I think you're supposed to kind of sympathize with him because he's being bullied. But you're not really given enough to work with. You don't get a sense of who he is outside of that front yard. You know, like I'll take it back to Jimmy Neutron Boy Genius for a second. I do like that movie, and partially because I grew up with it. You know, I'll admit to that. But I think I think that is a much better movie than this one. And part of that is because, you know, I think there's parallels to be drawn between Jimmy Neutron and this kid Lucas. You know, they're both like short kids, were kind of picked on, all that stuff, and they're pretty smart for their age and all that. But in Jimmy Neutron, you get a sense of who that character is. In all facets of his life, you know, he has a couple of friends. You see him in school, which I think is a big part of it. Like, you see him, how he interacts with the people there. Like, there's a whole community of kids, and you see him, how he interacts with his family. Here, you just get like a minute of him being bullied in the yard, a minute of him like crying with his mom, and then his mom leaves, and he's shrunk down into an ant. So you get like very little to go on with this character.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
And you know, every moment that he's on screen is just like piercing, annoying. Like it's so bad.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like the animation in the movie, I think is fine. You know, it's not particularly great, I don't think, but it's okay. And the movie occasionally does have some fun playing with scale, which is stuff that's more done more effectively, oddly enough, in Ant-Man. But you can kind of see seeds of some of the jokes in Ant-Man in this movie. Not that Ant-Man's any way related to this movie, other than the fact that they both have ants in them. But
right. Yeah, there's definitely – it has that – it's so interesting to think about like how this is directed by the guy that created Jimmy Neutron, and the animation in this looks exactly like Jimmy Neutron.
It does.
And I don't know if that's just a result of you know, what age I was when Jimmy Neutron was out and stuff.
Yeah.
But that show always had such a distinctly computer animated look to me compared to other cartoons on at that era.
I mean, I believe it was Nickelodeon's first computer animated cartoon solely, I'm pretty sure.
Right. Which I don't, maybe that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But so see, like just seeing the opening of Ant Bully, and you know, we have the ants in their line or whatever, which we've seen in the other two Ant movies. but it just immediately stuck out to me as being like, oh, it's the Jimmy Neutron animation type thing, which is, I guess, just computer animated in early 2000s.
Right. Yeah. Like Jimmy Neutron isn't like the best animation either, but it's serviceable. And like generally speaking, like most people, I feel like most people remember the TV show as opposed to the movie.
Yeah.
Maybe not, because I feel like, I mean, I have the movie, so I remember a little bit more. Like, the TV show is kind of a blur to me. I remember, like, kind of things here and there from the show, but, like, the movie I've seen at least a few times. I don't know. Jimmy Neutron was a fun show, and I liked it. But, yeah, the animation in it wasn't the best. But there was, I think that show and that movie had a little more fun with what they could do with the animation. Here is just very standard. But the easy highlight of this movie to me is Bruce Campbell. As Fugax, who is essentially just playing an ant version of Ash in Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
He's you know, a cocky adventurer who's totally full of shit, spends the whole movie hitting on a lady ant. And
fails at everything he does.
Yeah, fails at everything he does. It's great. Also, I laughed really hard when he showed up, because his ant even has the Campbell chin.
Yeah. His chin is the most pronounced chin of all the ants.
Which was pretty awesome. So I liked seeing that. But yeah, my overall takeaway, though, is that this movie is kind of disturbing in a lot of places. mm-hmm. There's some funny stuff that comes out of that being disturbing, but for the most part, it just left me scratching my head and being like, how is this for kids? Like, this is like really, like, it's not that it's intense, but just like, there's a lot of really dark jokes.
Yeah, there's one in particular that I would want to highlight, which is the sequence when I lost the main kid's name already.
Is it the frog sequence?
The frog sequence.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, chased by frogs.
Let's talk about that in a few minutes when we get into the moments or scenes that stood out to you. But I absolutely wanted to talk about that one, because that one freaked me the fuck out at one point.
Good.
I'm assuming it's the same point. Uh-huh. Otherwise, as far as Meryl Streep goes, I'm convinced she recorded her part in 5 minutes or less. Like, she showed up at the studio, recorded, and left.
Yeah, had to be. She's in it for maybe 10 or 2 minutes.
Yeah, like, it's very, very short. And, like, that felt like, I mean, it's not that it feels phoned in, Meryl Streep's a good actress, but it felt like, you know, the most, like, rushed of the big names that are in there. Nicolas Cage and Julia Roberts actually do a pretty good job, I think.
Yeah.
Which leads us into our next thing. What do you think of Nicolas Cage in the movie, Mike?
It's interesting that you say he stars in this movie. I feel like he's definitely much more of a supporting character, even though he is pivotal to the plot.
That's true, yeah. I mean, it sort of positions him as the star for a while, I feel like. It opens with him.
Yeah, there's that weird head fake where we start with the ants that we think are the main characters, and then, nope, shitty Lucas is the main character, and the kind of interesting, silly, funniness ones go to the side,
yeah.
Other than Julia Roberts' and Bruce Campbell, I feel, characters. Yeah. But Cage is doing a simultaneously monotone and silly act voice, you know, animate voiceover job. Yeah. It seems like he's being what you would expect an ant wizard to be like, but at the same time, he does a lot of monotone, kind of weird stuff that sounds like he might just be phoning it in. I don't know.
But I think this was very much like a paycheck gig. That would be my guess.
Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like. There are certainly scenes that I think are really great with him.
Yeah.
particularly where he's trying to like smash the rocks together to like the fire stones to change the color of his potion or whatever. That scene was actually really funny.
Yeah, he was like he's smashing the rocks together. And he's like, ah, rocks, curse upon your children, and he like tosses them aside. Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah, so yeah, I think Cage gives a solid vocal performance in this movie. He's never really like overdoing it.
Yeah,
you know, he's never like overacting like you might expect Cage to do in a role like a wizard ant. and he's provided, I think he provides like a pretty solid anchor for the rest of the movie to hang around on, which again is surprising considering he plays a wizard ant. But if we're talking over the top performance, it's like, what the fuck was Paul Giamatti doing?
I don't know, but it's kind of awesome. I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
I was so put off by it when he first showed up, and then I feel like I kind of got used to it later on. But like, it's so like he's such a bizarre character.
Yeah,
it's really weird. Like, there's a moment early on when you see Paul Giamatti's character for the first time where he's like wiping a piece of paper on his ass, and and you hear Paul Giamatti like making these mocking noises. And I was just picturing Paul Giamatti in the voiceover booth making those noises.
And, you know he was.
And it was a lot more entertaining than what I was watching on screen. But so I do want to just throw this out there. Nicolas Cage does play a wizard ant in this movie.
Again, we just want to hammer that home.
I really want to stress that. But what I really want to stress is that nobody in the movie acts like this is strange. You know?
Yeah.
This is just, you know, a part of life for the ant colony. And the human kid who has just been shrunk down by powers beyond his wildest imagination and is now living amongst a colony of ants, he doesn't give a shit.
You know, he's totally cool with it.
He has no questions about the wizard ant that he's hanging out with. He has no follow-ups. Like, how do you have this magic? Like, how can I even perceive that magic exists? Nope, doesn't give a shit. He just wants to badmouth ants while he's hanging around with ants, which is clearly the worst possible time to do that.
Like, as we've said, Lucas is the worst.
Like, he shrinks down, and they get into that trial in the ant room, and the queen of the ants is, like, presiding over them. And he's just like, I don't want to be hanging around with a bunch of stupid ants. And all the ants are like, ugh. And I'm like, read the room, kid.
He still work on his crowd work, I guess.
Yeah, it was bad. I did want to actually mention the funniest moment in the movie, I think, which is in that trial sequence where he's like, you know, the kid's like, I don't want to be here. And, like, one of the ants in the back, like, yeah, we should just eat him. and then like somebody says no, and then Nicolas Cage is like, yeah, you're right, he's a human, this is a very unique opportunity, we should study him, we should go into all these things, and then we could eat him. And again, this movie has like a kind of a dark humor streak to it that's just like very odd. But yeah, so Mike, normally when we do this podcast, I ask you, how does this role fit into the roles that we've seen Nicolas Cage play so far? Before we started this podcast, you were like, I don't know if I can answer that question.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a answer that exactly, that touches on that. But I think it's just an interesting moment in Cage's career to see him have this kind of weird, goofy voiceover role, where it's been pretty much a solid decade of leading man Cage since the We Made It My trilogy. He's been the big star of all of his movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's roughly 95, 96 till 2006 before he is like, yeah, I'll do this other dumb thing. So I don't know. It's just an interesting moment in his career, I think, at this point.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this is a vocal performance like Christmas Carol, the movie.
Right.
Although he has had a lot more to do in this one. And also, Cage begrudgingly developing a relationship with someone he thought he hated. Also the plot of guarding Tess.
Nice.
So pulled that one out of my ass, but there it is. So Mike, are there any moments or scenes that stood out to you in the gameplay? We got to talk about the frog sequence.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to talk about this. It's a scene in which Lucas and a few bugs get eaten by a frog. Because this features a really quick joke that is incredibly disturbing. And I'm assuming this is what we're both talking about, right? We haven't talked about this ahead of time. We both came to this conclusion separately.
Yeah.
So the beetle is annoying of the fly that's inside the frog's stomach. They're all inside the stomach. And the fly quickly looks around, sees another fly, his friend Larry, floating in the water. And he picks him up by the head. And it's just that, Larry's severed head.
With, like, dangly spinal column bits.
It looks
at the bottom of it.
Yeah, there's like a spine, like dripping, and it looks like it was literally ripped from his friend's body. Which is a
even have one of the eyes slowly turn away.
Yes,
It's disgusting.
That is a very quick joke. That's so fucked up. Right?
Yeah.
I was shocked. I was floored at that. And like, if I enjoy dark, I'm a pretty big fan of dark comedy in general. And like, I was kind of like just in awe of the cojones of that joke. Like, I couldn't believe that that flew by under the rate. Like, okay, I you gave me the finger guns, which means I made a pun. So great.
Yeah, you're awesome.
But I couldn't believe that flew under the radar. You know, that was such a that the studio let that happen. I was like, Jesus Christ, that was.
It's basically the scene in Tropic Thunder where Ben Stiller thinks it's a prop head.
Yeah, when he's lifting up Steve Coogan's head and like, licking the thing at the bottom. That's the kids' movie version of this. This came before Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, they stole it from Anvil.
This just beat Tropic Thunder to the severed head joke.
But yeah, that's kind of that was the big scene or the big moment that I was like, we have to talk about this.
Yeah, that was insane. And that kind of speaks to the whole movie's like very kind of cavalier attitude towards death, I think. Like there's, you know, this movie does introduce the ants as our main characters. And then Lucas, when he's big, floods the ant colony at the beginning of the movie. And that is portrayed as like this doomsday level event for the ant colony, right? Like you see characters being displaced from their homes and like dying left and right. Not dying on screen, obviously, because it is a kids' movie, but we can only show the severed heads. But presumably, this results in the death of hundreds, if not thousands, of ants. And Lucas is shrunk down to ant size and brought into the ant colony, presumably to answer for his actions. But he never does. He never reckons with what he does. He never meant. No. He never comes to the realization that he killed thousands of ants and feels bad about it. He's just a dick from the beginning of the movie to maybe a little less of a dick by the end. You know, he becomes a true ant, which basically means he can climb things for some reason. He just gains the ability to climb, right? Like there's a thing throughout the movie where he can't climb up walls because he only has, you know, two arms and two legs, and he doesn't have the sticky feelers at the end of his hands, so how could he possibly do it? And then at the end, he just does it.
He just believes, Mike.
He just believes that he is an ant, and then he becomes one. I did not buy him changing into less of a dick for a second, by the way. I feel like by the end of the movie, he is still just as much of a prick, if not more so, because now he's cocky.
There is another scene, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, where the like dragonfly hornet things like attack the herd of caterpillars that the ants have with them, and it's just like this weird aerial assault sequence.
Yes.
Like kind of halfway through the movie, and I just remember I think they kill one of the dragonfly things, and they make a "I was just following orders" joke. And it was like, what the fuck? What's going on?
Yeah. He says, "I was just following orders" in a German accent. Is he supposed to be a Nazi wasp? Is that?
I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, because those are wasps, not dragonflies. And
but they're like, woo. I don't know. Whatever.
Well,
yeah.
My critical analysis of it was that wasp also could stand for white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
Oh my god.
And so the fact that he's a Nazi, I maybe I'm reading too much into that joke, but.
This came out 10 years before it is now, Mike.
Fair
enough. But I do like the effort.
Yeah, there we go. And there's also a moment in the movie where the beetle bites Paul Giamatti on the dick. It's a weird kids movie.
Yeah, I mean, and there's another shot in that final battle against the exterminator where, you know, he's got his, like, fogger machine, and we see him just, like, you know, in slow motion, spray a cloud of this gas, and just hundreds of these wasps fall out of the air.
it is Saving Private Ryan-esque. It's the D-Day sequence of Saving Private Ryan.
It is
bizarre. Also, want to throw out the moment at the ending where they are attacking Paul Giamatti. Lucas shows up on his scalp, and there's just a world of lice that is. Which was so gross, but also like it was just such a weird joke. It's like four lice just like chomping on hair, and one guy's just like, "Welcome to the scalp, have a slice." It was
weird. It seems like something out of Rango.
That was something that would have been out of Rango, actually. But also, I think the movie's like internal logic just makes no sense. Like, is there a reason that the potion at the end didn't shrink Paul Giamatti down to ant size? but instead, like, shrunk him down to, like, this 2-foot deformed monster, because...
Yeah, it's all this fucking Cronenberg E.T. thing.
Which, presumably, he has to live his entire life that way now, right?
I don't know. He gets away on a tricycle.
Yeah, that was a... Man, that was weird. and this, but, you know, we are focusing on a lot of the bizarre elements of this movie because there's so many bizarre elements. Yeah. There are, like, decent jokes throughout. There are a lot of really lazy jokes, like jokes about ants. And it's jokes that, like, make it seem like, oh, these are common knowledge that everybody knows about ants. but I feel like they're not, you know? Like, there's a joke where, you know, throughout the movie, like, Lucas says, cross your heart, and the ant crosses her butt. And right. You know, like ants hearts are located in that area, but I feel like that's not something that everybody knows, and so it's just like a weird
it's just a weird thing they do,
and it's a recurring joke. Like, it happens again later on in the movie. But yeah, also I wanted to make a mention of a moment at the end where everything kind of slows down around Lucas while he's still moving at normal speed, because he's the Flash now, I guess. Is
I don't know, he just climbed a thing, so sure.
Yeah, he's reached the singularity or something. He gains the ability to climb stuff, even though he absolutely should not have it.
He saw the Matrix.
Yes, he saw the Matrix. That's what it was. This movie is a remake of the Matrix, but with ants.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't know. Are there any other moments or anything you want to talk about, Mike, in The Ant Bully? Or is there any scenes that stood out to you? Because
it's mostly... No, I don't think so. It's mostly just the really weird shit we already talked about.
Yeah, again, I mean, Bruce Campbell's pretty funny. He's hitting on Regina King the entire movie. Has a couple of funny lines. I did like the line where they're going into Lucas's house, and they're crawling under the door, and he's like marveling at the majesty of Lucas's house, and he's like, wow, to think all of this is made out of your own poop.
Nice. It's really weird.
Yeah, it's weird. I did want to mention that as the movie panned away from the anthill as the credits were about to roll, it did dawn on me that we just spent 90 minutes getting to know these characters who will all be dead by winter.
they even make that joke with the glowworm a whole bunch of times.
Yes, that was actually really funny. It's like the beetle picks up the worm's like, hey, you want to join us on this fight? And the worm's like, well, I only live for 2 weeks anyway, so... which again, kind of dark. Like, those are dark
jokes. Super dark. Yeah. Super dark.
And it kind of, like, yeah, like that, I think, like, that joke is what kind of made me dawn on that realization. Like, the ants don't live that long, you know, and there's a lot of them. But, like, you know, Zok and Hoba and stuff, like, they will live their lives and they'll be dead in a couple of weeks, you know? That's
right. Yeah.
And at that point, like, is this kid supposed to just be aware of ants as sentient beings for the rest of his life? Like, like, what's going to happen? Like, if his house gets infested by ants, what is he going to do? Because he knows that ants are, you know, he knows that all insects are living creatures now. Like, this is a potentially world-shattering view.
It's just all casual, like.
Yeah, this is going to mess him up for life, I feel like, this kid. It's messed up. Like, maybe he overcomes his bully problems at the end of the movie. He's going to have a whole lot more problems later on. When, you know, he's dating a girl and the girl wants him to kill a bug and he won't do it. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It might be a wizard spider. We don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and that even raises the question, like, are there only wizard ants or are there wizard other things? Are there wizard humans that we don't know about in this movie, in the universe of this film?
Mother of God.
It's just weird, man. It is weird. Because, again, like, there's no other magic in the movie. It's just Nicolas Cage as the wizard ant. And he doesn't even really do magic. He just makes potions that do the magic, right? He doesn't, like, he has a staff. And I think there's one moment where it seems like they teleport. Because they find out the exterminator's coming. And they're off, like, way in the they're making their way back to the colony. But I think they're established as being way off in the distance. And then the very next scene, there's, like, a flash of light. And then they're suddenly back in the queen's room or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, what just happened? Can he teleport now? What are the limitations of Nicolas Cage's powers in this movie?
There are none, Mike. Apparently. As long as you believe.
Well, all he does is that and the potions. That's...
And smash some rocks together.
He smashes some rocks together, too. He's not even very good at making the potions because he fails a bunch of times. But also, even just at the end, like, I feel like Lucas... you know, taught, like, throwing jelly beans onto the ant hill as, like, you know, giving them a bunch of food. I feel like that's gonna kill a lot of them. Like, that they're gonna be crushed by jelly beans. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah, so obviously, I thought long and hard about the ant bully.
Clearly. I think maybe a little too much, Mike.
Maybe. I was just so perplexed by the internal logic behind this movie. It was bizarre. But yeah, any other thoughts about the Ant Bully that you want to get into, Mike, or should we move on to Netflix reviews?
No, I would like to hear what other people spent so much time thinking about the Ant Bully and what they have to say about it.
All right, fair enough. Well, let's move on then. Let's get into our Netflix reviews of the Ant Bully. Here is a 3-star review of the Ant Bully. Apart from the plot and characters, some parts didn't really come off as kid-friendly. There was a scene with a frog chasing the ants, and now I find frogs quite disturbing. In fact, I'm a bit scared of them. The Ant Bully was a dull film, not terrible, but just dumb. Fair. And I get that, man. That frog scene is traumatic. Also, a quick button to that frog scene. The bugs all escape the frog at the end, and one of them is immediately eaten by another frog.
Wait, what?
You don't remember that?
Did I somehow miss that? What happened? Wait.
The fly. The fly is, the animals all escape the frog's mouth because the wizard, Nicolas Cage, gets sucked in. And uses his burping potion to make the frog burp out everyone. And then, you know, the fly escapes. And he's like, yes, freedom, sweet freedom. And he immediately gets snatched up by another frog. Which, again, a super dark joke. Because that fly will be dead very soon. Anyway, wanted to throw that out there. Anyway, here is a 2-star review of The Ant Bully. From the director of Jimmy Neutron comes the story of a boy who takes to torturing a local ant colony, only to be shrunken down to insect size and forced to see how it feels to be on the receiving end of a 3-hour train of ant rape.
Jesus Christ. That took a very dark turn, right?
Yeah. Because the director has been quoted as saying that this film provides a stark political parable for our times, demonstrating his compassion for people of other cultures by equating them with ants.
Oh, man.
There it is. Here's a 3-star review of Ant Bully. Today, my class watched this movie on a reading day. My class really liked this movie. I think the class had a good time and really liked the character Grandma. She was very funny. My class quoted, I really enjoyed the movie, too. I like that because it's clearly like the class was given an assignment to write reviews of the movie on Netflix or something.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Here's a 5-star review of the Ant Bully. I am 21 years old, that's all caps, and a college student, still all caps. I loved this movie, still all caps. No longer caps. I wasn't expecting it to be this good. I think it's great for any age, plus you actually gain education out of the film also. But I laughed, and it kept my attention from start to finish. Check it out, folks. It's a must-see. P.S. Follow me on Twitter at DMansWorld. I follow back. If you have any questions, show me some love.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. I think he owes us money now. We advertised for him.
We did. Here's a 4-star review of The Ant Bully. It was a funny, enjoyable movie anyone would like. It had parts adult would laugh at. This movie showed me not to kill ants.
I mean, that's a good takeaway to have, I guess.
That is pretty much the moral of the story, is don't kill ants.
One of them might be a wizard.
Yes, exactly. Because you never know. There could be a wizard ant in the bunch. Yeah. Here's a 1-star review of The Ant Bully. I, a 10-year-old, am very shocked how it's PG. It shows the kid naked and makes it seem funny when it isn't. The movie is boring. I hope this is enough to make you not watch it. He spells enough with an A. Which he brings up a point. The kid is naked for a significant chunk of this movie, like when he gets shrunk down and when he grows back.
Right.
And that seems like a choice that the movie did not have to make.
Mm-mm.
Right.
Mm-mm. And then not make jokes about it, which was weird for a while.
It was like he's just naked. He just is naked, covering himself up a little bit with a potato chip, but otherwise completely naked. Here's a 1-star review of The Ant Bully. This is the last one. First off, I hate those reviews where people discuss the supposed symbology of a film and go in depth into character analysis. Dude, it's just a movie. Get over it. Okay, having said that, I think the symbology of this film.
Classic.
It's going to take a turn, believe me.
Oh boy.
Is that a marathon runner who keeps robbing banks is actually running from life and love. And I think it's symptomatic of the behavior of some men. The kid in the picture looks gay. I kept watching this guy robbing banks like it's a compulsion or something, even when he's got a babe who's crazy about him, and I kept wondering, what the hell is up with this guy? His girlfriend tells him he has a choice, but he doesn't behave like it. Why so restless? Why always looking for the next thing? Why unable to take orders from other men? I think a good movie will entertain and make us look at ourselves. This movie kind of did that for me. It also motivated me to get on a treadmill. clearly this guy did not watch The Ant-Bully. I did some research into what movie he could possibly be talking about. I googled Marathon Runner Bank Robber.
Yeah, and?
I believe it's a German film from 2010 called The Runner.
Oh my god. That's amazing.
How he got onto the Ant-Bullies page on Netflix, I do not know.
I don't know. Interesting.
I cannot think of any movie that is more unrelated than that movie.
Yeah, for real.
But anyway, yes. Yeah, so I think that about wraps up our discussion of the Ant-Bully, Mike. You know, it's such a bizarre film, and I feel like we've only scratched the surface of how bizarre it is. I wouldn't believe some of the stuff I saw in this movie until I saw them. You know, not least of which that Nicolas Cage plays a wizard ant, which we really should stress.
I don't know if we've mentioned that yet, but
we really do have to mention that a couple more times. So Mike, yeah. Where can we find you online this week?
You can find me at twitter.com/mdfilmblog. And if you like Dungeons and Dragons, my friends and I post our games at youtube.com/geonerd79.
And you can find me online at twitter.com/msmithfilmblog and all of our podcasts and stuff at filmbook.com. You can also check out my work at crookedmarquee.com. Thank you so much for listening to The Complete Works. I'm Mike Smith. That is Mike DiCriccio. If you're listening to this review via our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe to the podcast, rate it, and take a moment to give us a review. You can help support this podcast and Filmbook by taking part in our Patreon campaign. You can find our Patreon campaign page at patreon.com/filmbook. Any and all feedback, compliments, topic discussions, and even hate mail can be sent directly to podcast@filmbook.com. Please list the podcast you email about in the title of your email, because we produce just so many different ones, hard to keep track. We would love to hear from you. Now, join us in 2 weeks for another episode of Complete Works, in which we'll be talking Nicolas Cage's role in Oliver Stone's 2006 9/11 drama World Trade Center. So that'll be a fun one.
Oh boy.
Yeah, plus keep an eye out for a film bookcast where we're probably going to talk Mother on the next episode. Mike, is that the plan?
I think so, yeah.
Cool
I'm
beans.
Into it.
Yeah, that comes out this weekend, and I have heard incredibly divisive things, and that just makes me want to see it all the more. I'm pretty stoked. So thanks so much for listening, guys, and thanks for getting in the cage.
Boom! Nick Cage, motherfucker! Boom! Nick Cage, motherfucker! Boom! Nick Cage, motherfucker! Think about that while you're leaving Australia! Boom!